Hi everyone, this is Rithika Fleming, Executive Research Leader at HFS, and today I have the pleasure of being joined by Vijay Pahuja from Sutherland to talk about legacy transformation in insurance. Why do we need a different approach to how we execute on these large strategic initiatives for insurance carriers? So as we get started, Vijay, would you like to introduce yourself?
Of course, Rithika. Glad to be here. Glad to be having this chat. I know you've been covering insurance for a long time. I've been doing this for more than half of my life as well, so I'm really looking forward to it. Vijay Pahuja, I run the insurance business for Sutherland. I've been here roughly 3 years, 24-some years in the industry, ex-IBM, Cognizant, kind of seen all flavors. Started in consulting and then ops, technology, consulting, strategy just kept getting at it. So I'm excited for this conversation. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get into it. So what are the big challenges in your view when it comes to legacy transformation in insurance? We've been talking about this for a number of years now. So why haven't we figured it out?
All right. The hairy question, right off the gate. I think there are too many barriers. Where do you start? I mean, it's one, of course, it's old tech, data silos and data quality. You don't know where the information is trapped. You don't know how good the data is. Dying expertise and knowledge of these systems, I think that's a big one. Integration complexities. But I think all of this, if I bubble this up, I think in my mind lead to two big barriers, which is cost and risk, especially the upfront costs, right? And then you layer that with culture, you layer that with slowness in decision making. And in case no one noticed, right, we are in the industry of risk management. So it's complex, and I think we are going to be in for a long haul. There's no silver bullet. But I land, I think, in my mind on one critical success factor, and that is break down the business and technology silo and add data into it, right? And it is happening in pockets. If you see many insurance companies today have, IT and business rolling up into one leader, right? Lines are blurring. We still have a long way to go. And I'll give you an example, and I think it's played out beautifully with one of our pretty large multi-billion dollar specialty carriers in the Midwest. This is one of, again, those examples where they've broken the silos, right? Business and technology roll up into one leader. We are in the middle of, major claims transformation or claims migration program, 6 claim systems into one. We, of course, have been an operations partner for them, so we are a constituent. But then there is the chief data officer in the room, there is the CIO in the room, and then there is, of course, the overall leader who's driving this. Of course, then we're going to follow this with policy, billing, and so on and so forth. But this is an excellent example where everybody kind of comes together, you break the silos, and you're really undertaking this, this initiative.
Yep, absolutely. I think so much of the same data can be used by different functions, right, across from underwriting to claims. It's so challenging to really have all stakeholders present and weighing in and influencing systems decisions and transformation with that in mind, right? But there's a huge opportunity there. As you said, there definitely are points of progress, especially with ambitious carriers that we've been seeing out there. So many of business leaders are now weighing in on technology decisions. So it's part of the change. Now within that, we've seen Sutherland coming in with sort of a challenger approach, right? When you talk to insurance clients, shaking up the incumbents, what does that mean to you in terms of mindset and the impact for clients?
So our insurance business was actually born out of a sales and service center carve out. In Virginia for one of the largest PNC carriers back in, I would say, 2003, 2004. So we go back quite a bit, right? It's not a new business, it's a flagship business for the company. But then since then, of course, it continued to scale and it's sort of scale significantly, I would say, in the sales, service, underwriting operations for some large carriers, mostly in the US, nearshore, and so on. But what we did about 3 years back, going back to your question on how we've sort of how we are changing the game, if you will, is that we undertook a very methodical approach to reinvention for our clients, right? And I would say for the industry at large. But I think for that, it's important to understand the Sutherland stack, right? So the Sutherland stack, if you think about it, because we were able to take the Sutherland stack and apply it to the insurance business, right? Which is, there is foundation and process and operations. You layer that with data, digital, and cloud engineering. We went on that pivot roughly 2009, 2010, so almost 10, 15 years ago. You then layer that with further with, you know, proprietary and IP, you know, our own IP, AI-enabled products, right? We've got 40-some products like that, 200 patents. And then you surround that with a very strong CX core, right, which is sort of placing human-centric design at its core. So when you kind of take that sort of a stack and then you apply that to an industry like ours, I think that's when it starts to come together for a lot of our clients. Now, we've been advocating, we've been talking about making digital human for many years. And you've seen that, you know, how we, you know, in our narrative. It was interesting. I recently saw that in the Accenture 2024 Tech Vision, which is about, making digital human. So our solutions are distinctly human-centric. For example, our IT peers by default take a very tech-led approach, by default, not to say that's the only approach, but it's a default mode. Our BPO-first peers take a very process-led approach and lack that technology depth. I think because we made those pivots many, many years ago, we sit nicely in the middle, bringing up, I would say, arguably the most integrated set of process and tech capabilities, right? And you underpin that by, you know, human-centric design capabilities. I think this fresh mindset and approach is, I think, is challenging and bringing, a new perspective. Of course, we are unseating some of the incumbents as a result of that and making a difference for our clients. And I'll give you an example. Our CogniLink claims ecosystem, which is, primarily for the PNC, largely for the PNC sector, right? Which is where you take, right from starting from document AI, right? Which is, yes, everybody talks about extract. Ingestion, extraction capabilities, and that's fairly getting commoditized now. But clubbing that with generative AI capabilities, and as if you're able to interact with the document, you take that further, right? Which is with our own proprietary platform called Rubility, which is a hyper automation platform, automating tasks. You take that further because you're collecting data through all this process. Combine that with a knowledge management solution, again, Gen AI enabled, called HelpTree. You take that further with conversational AI capabilities, because again, it's the same data stream that you're sort of following. And then you wrap that up with what we have, what we call a CX360, which is our, interaction analytics, as well as, document analytics platform. When you put all of that together, because it's all our own IP, the integration is that much more seamless. And then when you take that to a client, packaged with an outcome, underwritten, for an improvement of a business outcome, you start to see a difference in the way the clients then view the solution. And I think that's where we are seeing that, seeing that difference, we are able to bring it together in a far more integrated manner, which I think is making a difference.
Okay. Committing to outcomes. We've been talking about that in the services space for a while, but it is incredibly hard to do contractually, culturally. Now you add in the layer of insurance leaders typically being risk averse in a risk averse industry. how do you make this happen to actually have skin in the game and drive towards that?
Yeah, I think clients love the idea, and insurance clients particularly, they love the idea of transferring the risk to someone else. And I think we happily take it. I go back to the example that I made around, or the reference that I made around, we've been growth focused as well as, cost focused for a lot of our clients. For example, when we started running a lot of sales operations for a lot of our clients, right? We don't sell, we don't get paid. It was as simple as that, right? So almost all our engagements are payouts are based on commission, right? So they are 100% outcome based. As we advanced that further, when we ventured into, broad TPA type arrangements, they by default become outcome based because you're really at the end of the day price per policy sort of a construct. As we then look at claims, particularly, again, not everything can be, not every part of the, relationship can be outcome based. But then let's say, for example, in claims, when we're doing recoveries, it's recoveries as a service, right? That's directly tied to how much I recover. And I'm signing up for that. Credit control as a service, right? If I'm reducing the outstanding, I'm signing up for that. So we looked at, parts of the value chain, pockets of functions where we can directly make that proposition. And clients gain the confidence because one, they're able to see that we are not cobbling multiple solutions together from five different partners. They are seeing that I have the influence and control on, 95% of the solution that I'm committing to deliver, right? We, of course, prove that out with a smaller proof of concept right up front. The ones that I mentioned, I think, are the easy ones, like commissions, easy, recoveries, easy, credit control, easy. TPA, if you're in a price per policy construct, that's been around for quite some time. So we kind of see a good reception by our clients. And again, like I said, I think clients, they are more than happy to transfer the risk. Once they've gotten a little more confidence that you're not just buying the business or just making a sales pitch. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think the technological advancements with AI, Gen AI, data, they are going to turn the industry on its head. No question about that. I'm incredibly optimistic. It's going to be fascinating to watch, on what that's going to do. But I'm gonna take a slightly different approach to this response, right, guys? Let's not forget, right, that what we've always emphasized. At the end of the day, it's all about culture, and the traditional slow decision making that has often held back this industry, right? And I think at the heart of this transformation are the people who will drive this change. Right. So the kicker is this in my mind. Right. I think 25% of the workforce in our industry is over 55. Right. And that's a massive chunk of the industry that's poised to, turn over. And of course, it creates a significant skills gap, and we know there is lack of diversity. But I think that's where the real opportunity is. Right. Because I think we will be welcoming a far more younger, diverse talent into the fold, right? Which is not going to be just about filling positions or, we're going to be injecting fresh perspectives, right? That will strengthen the industry because this new crop, if you will, right, will bring a willingness to embrace technology that we are talking about and a hunger for collaboration, right? Which I think is the key to reshape, because the technology is there. It's how would you apply this? And at the heart of this is the people and the culture that is going to that's going to make use of this opportunity. So I expect that we will continue to be a key accelerant, right, in this journey for a lot of our clients, and keep driving that change for the industry at large. But technology will append things, but I think it's this diverse culture that we are about to, welcome, right, in the next, I would say, 5, 7, 10 years, which is going to make all of this, far more accelerated than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I love that answer. It really does, signal a paradigm change for the industry, because the mix of people representing and working in the industry are certainly about to change. And their views on, how customer experience should look like, on the use of data, on how, processes should flow, on how technologies need to work for them, wildly different from what we've seen before. So, yeah, incredibly exciting. And the tech also keeps getting more exciting. I liked your example.
That's not slowing down. It's only going to it's only going to accelerate in ways that we can't even imagine.
Okay. Fabulous. With that, I know we are out of time here, but thank you for watching, everybody. Thank you, Vijay, for joining us. And perfect. Come find us on LinkedIn, hfsresearch.com, to continue this conversation. Thank you.
Awesome.